My name is Alan Morse, and I would like to visit with you today. I'm from Perry, Kansas, and I'd like to visit to you today with a topic called Benefits of the Gospel, Part 2. We've dealt with Part 1 my last time that we put this together. This is Benefits of the Gospel, Part 2. And I'd like to tell you that I'm from Perry, Kansas, and I've been doing this for just a small amount of time, but we're going to continue preaching the gospel, and this is what I want to do, teach the gospel. And so let's turn in our Bibles. Now, we'll be using the Bibles tremendously. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you get you a pencil and paper so that you can have it to write these things down. So when we're done, you'll have these, everything, so that you can go back and you can study the Word of God and you can underline and mark in your Bible so you can find these things and write down these things that we're going to be talking about. And we're going to be going through quite a few scriptures today. So get yourself prepared to be able to do a lot of writing today, because we're going to be talking about the benefits of the gospel. Now, we're starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the most important verse in the Bible as far as the church is concerned. This is where our salvation is. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," not a gospel, it's the gospel, "which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and by which you stand." You see, he was writing these letters to the Corinthian churches. And these Corinthian churches, all of them were already stood on the gospel, believed the gospel for their salvation. And you can, that's what it says right here, "which they stand." And it says also, verse 2, it says, "by which also you are saved." This, if you want to find salvation, you want to have something that you can hang on to, that you know that will put you in heaven when you die, you're looking at it right here. This is the gospel that Jesus Christ gave to Paul to give to you so that we can have eternal life. It says, "by which you are saved." But there's an if there. There's always an if. "If you keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." What he's saying is that this isn't a head knowledge. You see, I had a head knowledge for many years. I always believed that Jesus died on the cross and that he was buried and rose from the dead. But it wasn't for my salvation. I was always taught my salvation was based on putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. But that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. And because I didn't have the gospel, I didn't have the Holy Spirit. And when I believed the gospel, I got the Holy Spirit. And it came just beyond your imagination. But let's talk about the gospel right now. It says, "I deliver unto you first," this is verse 3, "of all that which I have also received." See, Paul received this gospel. Who did he receive it from? Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, "I didn't receive it from man, neither was I taught it by man, but I got it from the Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ gave him this gospel. And I always tell people, don't you think that Jesus has the right to tell us what we must do to be saved, because he's the one that died for us? And he tells us to believe the gospel. And this is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to scriptures. That's the gospel. You see, if he hadn't done these things, if he hadn't died on that cross to pay for our sins, we'd still be in our sins, and we'd have no hope. And so that's why we put our trust in what he did, not in who he is. When we put our trust in what he did, who he is will mean tremendous more to us than ever did before. But our trust for salvation is what he did, because what he did is what saved us. Now let's see what happens after you believe this gospel. And I'm talking about not a head knowledge. You truly believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. We find it in Ephesians, go up 2 Corinthians, and then we go to Galatians and go to Ephesians. And we're just going to hit this slightly and then keep on going. It says, verses 1-13, it says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel. This is the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed what? The gospel. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the proof of salvation. Now, once we are saved, we're going to talk about the benefits. Now we know we're saved. We have the Holy Spirit because we believe the gospel. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We just read that. Let's turn to Romans. We'll go back to the left in our Bibles. Go back to the left. Romans chapter 1. This is kind of neat. This is the benefits of believing the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verses 7. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, call to be saints. Think about that. When we believe the gospel, we become saints. There's churches in this world that the only way a person can be a saint is you have to be some group, high group in the hierarchy of the church, you know, votes them in to be a saint, but they have to be dead for so many years. They don't seem to be reading the Word of God, do they? It says that all believers in the gospel, that you believe the gospel for your salvation, we all are saints. In the Romans, he was writing this letter to the Romans, and these Romans were all believed the gospel. He doesn't write to unbelievers. He wrote to all believers, and they believed the gospel, and they were called saints. Now, you know what you hear in the Bible, they say if you see it once, you pay attention to it. But you see it twice, you really pay attention to it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We go Romans, go back, or go forward, go up to the right, go to Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2. Write these verses down. It's kind of neat. It says, unto the church of God, which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, call to be saints. With all that is every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. They were called to be saints. That's what we are. Saints, because we believe the gospel. Now, we saw it twice now. Just see what happens again in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We go one over. One more time. We go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and of Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia. See, the Corinthian church was just in this area called Achaia, and there could have been several churches. It's kind of like in Kansas. There could be several churches, Corinthian churches in that area. But there were churches that are saints that were in Achaia. There were saints. So what we're saying is that as soon as we believe the gospel, and now for sure we know that we are saints as far as God is concerned. Now let's look at what it said in Ephesians. We go Colossians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and to all the faithful that are in Christ Jesus. Saints. We're called saints. And then we go to Philippians. Ephesians. Philippians. And we're looking at Philippians 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. And then our last one is in Colossians. Keep on going to the right. Colossians. And we're looking at verse 2. It says, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are all from Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace, and God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called saints. Think about that. And that just blows your mind. Some churches, somebody have to be awful special to be a saint. But we're awful special because we believe the gospel in God's eyes. And we're all saints because we believe the gospel. Now that's the benefit, see. That's the benefit of the gospel. We become saints in it. There's six of them, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. So if you believe, if there's one in the Bible that say you listen to it, 2, you really listen to it. Now there's 6 of them, so we know we're saints. And it's just beyond our imagination. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians. To 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, you have it now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8. It says, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in that day of our Lord Jesus Christ? For God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What is one of the benefits when we believe the gospel? For we are confirmed unto the end. That means that once we believe the gospel, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's confirmed. Another word for it is locked in. We are locked in until that day. It's the day that either Jesus comes for us or the day that we die. We all look forward to the coming of Christ because that would be the fantastic. We would never have to physically die. We would just automatically be changed like Jesus' glorious body. We'd meet Him in the air and forevermore be with the God, be with the Lord. And those that are died, that are dead, that are in the cemeteries, their bodies will be resurrected, and their soul and spirit will meet with them, and they themselves also will meet in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever on. We're confirmed till that day. There is no day that we can be lost. And this Corinthian church, and you think that, well, what if I make a mistake? This Corinthian church was nothing but mistakes. I mean, of all the churches that he dealt with, these people had the most problems. But it didn't make any difference. You see, Christ, they believed the gospel. Sure, they've had problems, but they believed the gospel. And when they believed the gospel, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and they were saved. Because, you see, that's what Christ's blood on that cross did. He covered our sins. See, every sin that we've committed in our whole life or ever will commit are totally covered by the blood of Christ because He died for our sins. Does that give us license to go out and sin because we know it's covered? No. No. No way. We won't want to. When you have that Holy Spirit in you, that's the last thing that you want to do is sin. It's just, He just totally changes your life around. And old things will pass away and all things will become new. And that's for every believer. I don't care how deep in sin you are. He will totally turn you around if you believe the gospel. And that's just fantastic. Now let's look at let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're in Corinthians, so we go to chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 9. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and we're talking about the benefits of the gospel. We see back when we were in chapter 1, we found that we were confirmed. We're locked in to the day. That's a benefit, tremendous benefit. Now look what it says in chapter 2, verses 9. It says, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear, neither ear heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him." Think about that. It is written, eye hath not seen. There's nothing that we've ever seen that even gives us any idea what God has in store for us. Even what we have heard, ear has heard. We just never heard of anything what God has prepared for us. And even entered into our heart, what we're thinking. It's impossible. We cannot even comprehend what God has prepared for those that love him. And we love him because we believe the gospel. But we still have no idea what God has prepared for us. It's just beyond our imagination, our whole mind. When we step in heaven, it'll just blow our minds. We can't even visualize what will be there. Or we make up in our own minds thinking of heaven, you know, the streets are gold and everything's so beautiful and everything. That's probably true. It could be. But it's just, it may not be. It may be something that's just beyond our imagination. Obviously, it says that it is. That's the benefits of the gospel. Because we can know this and we can look forward to being with the Lord. You see, I look forward to the Jesus coming just like a child looks forward to Christmas. Because I know when Jesus comes, I'm going to be changed. And this old body that I have now that's all broken down and most has very few years left on this earth. And it's no fun getting old, I'm telling you. But I'm going to have a new body, a totally new body that will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't have to have hearing aids. I won't have to have glasses. I won't have to have false teeth. I won't have to have a lot of things that I have on this old body. It's going to be perfect. Perfect. And that's another benefit. Another benefit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 14. Chapter 2, verses 14. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolish unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You ever wonder why that the natural man don't care anything about the Bible? Because of the fact that they are spiritually discerned. They have the Bible is the Word of God is foolishness to them. But he says that, "But he that is spiritual judges all things." That's we that believe the gospel. "Yet himself is not judged by no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" Then it says, "But we have the mind of Christ." Think about that. Talk about benefits. And this is what I keep telling people. When you believe the gospel, when that Holy Spirit comes into you, your mind is totally changed. Your eyes are opened up and you can understand the Word of God. Beforehand, you could read a chapter. When you get done, you don't even comprehend what you read. And that's because of the first natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God. And so they are foolish things to him. That's foolish to them. They're spiritually discerned. But as soon as you believe that gospel and that Holy Spirit comes into you, he opens your eyes and the Bible just comes alive. How many times does the pastor say, "Now you need to study the Word"? And you go home and you say, "Well, hey, I need to study it." So I start reading, and before I go two verses or three, my mind someplace else. When I get done, I don't have a clue what I read. Have you ever done that? Or you go to church and you say, "I got to go to church It's because that's what I should do. And so I go to church and the pastor starts preaching. He says two words in your mind someplace else. And when you got done, if he told, asked you what he said, you couldn't tell him a word that he said. How many of you sat in there in church looking at your watch, thinking about what's going to have for lunch, or going to go play ball, or go fishing, or whatever, or you're a businessman, you're thinking about everything but God's Word? Well, you can't. You're spiritually discerned. But when you have the mind of Christ, it's altogether different for you. And that is believing the gospel, and you get the mind of Christ. That's just fantastic to us. Let's look, and we're going just over to 3 here now. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 3:16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Write these things down. These are all benefits of believing the gospel. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" You see, we are the temple of God. Where is that? Where is it? Is how we're sealed by the Holy Spirit? It's in us. God lives in us. We are the temple of God. That you are this, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And if any man defile that temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which is the temple ye are. We are the temple of God. If somebody messes with you and destroys the temple of God, he's got a problem. He's got a real problem. You know, God is living in us. And if anybody destroys this temple that we live in, he's got a real problem. He's got a real problem. But he said, well, maybe if I make a mistake, will I destroy the temple? No. You can't lose your salvation. You make mistakes and you'll sin. Yes, we will sin. But God has covered those sins. And he will draw you closer and closer to you each and every day. He'll give you a want to know the Word more than you've ever had in your life. He'll give you a want to walk with the Lord more than ever did in your life. He'll give you a want to tell the other people about the gospel so that they can have the same Holy Spirit that you have. It'll be number one important thing in your life. It'll be tremendous for you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to go to verse 12. We're in Corinthians still. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse Corinthians 12, 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Greek, whether it be bond or free, or have we been all made to drink of one Spirit." What are they talking about? This one Spirit is the Holy Spirit, which we are sealed with. And that same Spirit seals us or baptizes us into one body, and it's called the body of Christ, and that's the body that God is calling out today. That'll be His body, the body of Christ, that we are going to baptize it. And it's not a water baptism. This baptism is totally, totally spiritual. There's no water baptism in Paul's Gospels at all, hardly. There's a couple. But most everything when he talks about baptism, it's baptism by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Philippian jailer, you know, he asked, "What must I be to say?" And he says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, he never heard Jesus Christ before. And how would he believe in somebody he never heard of? But then he preached to him afterwards. And he preached the gospel to him. And it says, as soon as they believed, they were baptized. Well, the Baptists would say, well, they all took them down and gave them a good immersion somewhere. No. What does the Bible say? When you believe the gospel, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual baptism. And that's the only thing that counts, because when that Spirit is in you, that's proof that you're saved. That's proof that you're saved. So this is the baptism here is for the church, and we're a member of this church. And if somebody asks me what church I belong to, I'll tell them I belong to the body of Christ. That's the only church. That's the only church, and people from all over the world can belong to this church. I don't care if you're a Baptist or if you're a Methodist or you're Presbyterian or if you're a Catholic. If you believe the gospel, you'll be baptized into this church for your salvation. Not a belief in head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. If you believe the gospel for your salvation, you automatically are baptized into the body of Christ. Let's look at, go back to first, second, we go to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians 1:14. 2 Corinthians 1:14. Oh, 2 Corinthians 1:4, sorry. It says for 2 Corinthians 1:4, for comfort us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted to God. In other words, the Holy Spirit will comfort us no matter what we're doing in all of our tribulations. Each and every one of our tribulations, we will be comforted. These are just a part of the benefits of the gospel. These are just a few of the benefits of the gospel. And as you read and read through your scriptures, you will see that this is the most important thing that you could ever do, and that's believe the gospel. And let's close with prayer. Dear Father, we praise you and thank you, and I will pray that you open the heart to every person here to believe the gospel, and that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they'd live lives that would glorify you. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.